And oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh.
You know that meme that's...
That's good.
And I love that meme. When someone is doing entirely too much online,
then they
then
do
somebody
what?
Puts a little hand that says genug is genug.
I know. You should do that in Parliament. Just and every now and again, just reach out and put your hand on Helen and say, Helen, genug is genug. Okay, we're here. Are we rolling? Has this podcast started yet? Oh, it started. Okay, we've started. Just wait there. Wait. Okay. Let's do...
Okay.
Woo! Wow, it's amazing that Seviwa is here. This is very exciting. Guys!
Thank you for having me, Jason.
No, it's an honor. It's an honor. We haven't started yet. I'm going to introduce you now, but wow. It's,
okay,
last time I saw you, I was very rude to you, and here you still are. I really respect that. Okay. Let's go. Well, welcome back to Real Problem with Chester Missing. Floyd Jivambu says people in MK are stealing money from MK. Surprise, surprise! MK is basically a club for people who are waiting to go to jail. It would be weird if people in MK weren't stealing. MK's website's literally takealot.co.za. Meanwhile, this Liam Jacobs. Oh my God, this guy Liam is a sperm cell with a parliamentary seat. I think his mother has to sign him off going to work each day. But he's left the DA because he says the DA are using him. Liam, it's Parliament. Everyone is being used. If you're in Parliament and you're not being used, then your name is Floyd Jivambu. Oh, burn. Oh, okay. Now, I'm very excited. I'm honestly very excited. We have another one of my most favorite politicians. It's a short list. She's from the DA. It's the Minister of Basic Education. It's Siviwe Garube. Hello, Siviwe.
Hello, Chester. You're looking so dapper. Look at that
Thanks.
Tie. Look at that
I know.
Shirt.
It's,
look at that.
It's nice,
look
eh?
Look at you.
I know.
Love it.
Markham's had to really dig deep to find my size.
Don't worry.
It's on APRO.
Yeah,
oh, thank you. Thank you. I've never been massaged by a minister.
Really
wow. The basic education just came straight through. Yeah, this came straight through right there. Listen, do you feel the DA is using you?
I'm working very hard for the 13 and a half million South Africans' children in our schools.
That's what you're doing. You're the Minister
yeah,
of
exactly,
Basic Education.
Exactly. Absolutely not. I mean, also, that's weird because for me, you know, public service is about serving others.
Exactly. So, you're being used. That's the whole concept.
So you put up your hand to serve.
Yeah.
And that for me is really the core of what I do. And I've got 13 and a half million little ones who are all looking to us to really lead and make sure that they're good quality education. So if they're using me, I'm more than happy to be used.
I love it. Amandla, Futsak, Liam Jacobs, you bastard. Well done. That's the attitude we want. Listen, man, it is weird because, you know, you're younger than most ministers. So it's like school that you're one of us,
yes.
You know what I mean. You're one of us.
Yes. How old are you, Chester?
You have a blue light, and I don't mean puppets, although maybe I do. You are in the DA.
Oh, wow.
I know, Bern. I said I'd be nice, but I had to. I made those jokes about Musi Maimani. I can't leave you. Listen, did they give you a blue light brigade or something?
No. So, Chester, I choose not to use blue lights. I mean, unless there's an absolute emergency, which there hasn't been. So, also, I just really believe, like, it really freaks people out. So,
it freaks me out.
So, you know, people would be driving and you can literally see people getting so nervous because they don't know where to turn, what's going on. There's lights, there's, you know, sirens. I just think it just causes people anxiety. So, plan your life a little bit better. Leave home a little bit earlier so you can get to your meetings on time.
Wow.
Unless, of course, there's an emergency, which, you know, as I say, I haven't had one. So
if they run out of textbooks again in Limpopo, you can put it on. I'm driving to Polokwane. Get out of my way.
I may just.
I love it.
Because my 13 and a half million kids can't go without textbooks.
That's Amandla. I love that. Listen, Minister of Basic Education, and your granny was a school teacher, I read somewhere. Is that true?
Yeah, she really, really was. I miss her, man. She was a school teacher. She used to teach in a rural school. In fact, the funny thing is, when I was five, she decided she was going to take me to her school. She was a grade one teacher initially. So I went to the school. I was five, and I learned how to read and write very early.
Oh, wow.
So then when I went to the white school, when I really needed to start grade one, I get there, and I couldn't speak English at all, not a word, not
oh, wow.
a peep. But you know what the funny thing was? I was literate. I could read and write.
Oh, my God.
But in Isixhosa.
Oh, my God.
And it's such an important reminder for me that actually that a lot of kids, when we say children can't read or write for meaning, by the time they get to grade four or by the time they turn 10, that actually it's, we have to ask ourselves, what language are we using for learning and teaching? Because I have a perfect example of myself where I couldn't read or write in English, but I was completely literate, a lot more better than my other ones. I would just show them where their names were. I'd
be like, that's amazing.
What's your name?
That's funny. You'd show them where they couldn't read their own names, but you could.
Sitting here.
Yeah, shut up. Leave. Yeah, the Xhosa girl will teach you stuff. That's exactly. No, that's amazing. Exactly. I think that's one of the craziest things, you know, in South Africa. At what age does all do all kids have to learn in English?
So when you start off, ideally, because now we've got ECD that has come over to education, so we want kids to start reading and playing and learning through play by the time they are 0 to 4. So that's why ECD is there, and we want to formalize it so that we can make sure that kids are already familiarizing themselves with books. But then when they get to grade R, they are taught in their mother tongue in grade 1, they're taught in their mother tongue. In grade 2, they're taught in their mother tongue. And in grade 3, they're taught in their mother tongue. Then the shift happens in grade 4.
Yeah, grade 4.
And so when that shift happens, they then are taught in English. But the problem is, if the majority of South Africans don't necessarily speak English.
No, they don't.
Now, those children have to first now learn the English language and then learn through it. So they have to learn maths through English that they currently are learning. So that's why we've got to relook at how are we teaching kids? Because then that stat that says they can't read for meaning by the time they get to grade 4, is it that they can't read in English or they can't read for comprehension?
I love what you're saying. Yeah. I love what you're saying. Yeah. Listen, this has been a big concern for me. I'm not going to lie. You know, imagine that English is a colonial language. Mm-hmm. We colonized Africa and we forced black people to speak English at the end of a gun, literally. Mm-hmm. And now we're still, in a way, doing it. I mean, imagine the Germans won and then we all spoke German and then come to grade 4, you have to... What is 4 plus 4? 9! 9! No, 9!
No, it's... No, Chess. And that's why I think...
How do we fix that?
Well, we are currently... We've got a policy in place which we call the mother tongue based bilingual education. So a lot of people say, "Oh, but then you know, English is the language of business. So what if your kids can't speak English? Then they won't be able to get far." But what people don't realize is that if you teach children in a language of their birth, their mother tongue, they are much more likely to be able to pick up a second and a third language.
Gimpela, I agree
because
completely.
They are able to comprehend complex concepts a lot better.
Yep.
This is why English kids and Afrikaans kids outperform black kids in our schooling system, not because they're any smarter, but because they speak English and Afrikaans at school, at home, and then they are also taught in their own mother tongue. So we've got to fix that. It's an injustice.
That's a straight-up example of systemic racism. Yeah, it's what it is. It's colonialism straight in your face. It's spectacular. I've always blown my mind that we're normal about this. Listen, you're in charge of basic education. You got these amazing thoughts. Is it true that 40% of people who start grade 1 don't finish matric? Because our fallout rate is as high as the ANC's election results.
No, Chester, no.
Don't want to GNU your life there, but
no, I'm not GNU nothing. Stop it.
Is that the rate? I mean, how do we fix that? That's insane.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a couple of things that we could do. So firstly, our throughput rate, which is what you refer to, which is how many kids.
It's called the what?
The throughput.
The throughput rate. Yes, wow, it sounds like an academic term for who's your daddy? I'm gonna throughput you.
Stop it!
I will.
I'm teaching you important things.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is a puppet show. I don't know what you thought. It's Takalani Salinas here.
Okay. So what the throughput rate refers to is how many children start grade R and how many finish grade 12. Right?
I love how you use your hand as you explain it. Keep going.
Yes. Because I'm talking to a puppet.
No, I know. You've got to. You're used to it.
Break it down for you.
You're used to it.
Exactly.
Work with John.
So... You see, you're being very naughty.
I'm not being naughty. The hand in my ass. So, do you know what that's like? I'm joking. Keep going.
Jesus. So our throughput rate in South Africa is 63%. So it's not in itself. So you mustn't look at that rate and think, oh, goodness, about 40 kids don't make it through.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It does. But what we need to be better at as government is to trace where children are going. So not all of them are, one, dropping out. Some of them are going to TVET colleges when they get to grade 9.
Okay.
Some of them are dropping out. So we need to know what's the real number of the dropout rate and how do we fix that. And then also the other thing is that there's also natural attrition. Some children are moving out of the public schooling system. So the point I'm making is when I got to the department, I said, do we know exactly where these children are? And it turns out that we don't actually trace children, but we have to trace them because in South Africa, children must be in school and it's compulsory by law between ages until grade 9.
Yep.
So if they are leaving school in grade 9, we need to know as government for planning purposes and for being able to make sure we keep kids in school, we need to know where have they gone. So us in higher education need to know, where have they gone to TVET colleges? Have they gone to community colleges? Have they dropped out? If they have, why have they dropped out?
Why don't we know that already? Surely that's like grade 1 learner. Can you help me out? My hand's falling off the table.
Oh,
just
I'm
move
so
it for me.
Sorry. Okay.
I know, thank you. Just
there
put it nicely and spread them out a bit while I look like I'm praying.
Okay. There
thank you.
Go.
Thank you, donkey.
And I
donkey.
Know you don't like it.
Of course, no, and thank you for fixing my cloth there. I saw that there. Thanks. Okay. That was. This
go.
Is the kind of service you don't get from the Patriotic Alliance.
There you go.
Thank you,
all right.
Minister.
All right.
Right.
Cool.
She's going to take a photo of it and tell it's just another example of DA service delivery.
The DA delivers.
Of course, yes. Oh, yeah, they deliver. They deliver. They always deliver. You sound like freaking work at a hospital. We deliver. What did you deliver? No, as long
services.
As you're not poor. Yeah, okay. We'll go to Khayelitsha later. But listen, no, seriously, this concept of why we aren't keeping up with what how many people fall in, why did that not happen previously?
Look, I mean,
ANZ bastards.
No. For me, it was just a very logical question. I just thought, it's important that we know where our learners are. And so that's what we're starting to do. I'm not entirely sure. Perhaps it wasn't because, as I said, 63% throughput is not out of kilt with middle-income and low-income countries, right? It's
okay,
right
up so you're
there.
Saying, sadly, our cuck situation is no more cuckness. On that topic, how far are we from eliminating pit toilets in South African schools?
Yeah, so you remember the audit that was done by my predecessor, Minister Mucheha?
Yeah.
It was done in 2018.
Yeah.
So when I arrived, I said, look, guys, we have to make sure that that backlog is cleared. So at the last tally...
That sounds like a toilet metaphor.
No. So yes. It's a little bit, don't do that.
Yeah.
We are sitting at 97% of clearing that backlog.
Sorry.
Stop it!
Sorry.
Chester,
sorry. It's a thing that happens. Just when the DA is around, I just make faces.
No, you look constipated.
I know.
Stop.
I'm clearing the backlog.
No, you're clearing the backlog. So we are sitting at 97% of clearing that backlog.
So are you saying 3% of schools have put toilets or is it 97% of the backlog?
It's 97% of the backlog. There were about 3,800 schools that were identified that still had pit toilets.
Yeah.
And about 97% of those have been cleared.
That's amazing.
But,
I want to wait till Equal Education's log signs that off, but that's amazing.
No, for sure. And we work very well with them because it's also important for you to have people verify these things on the ground.
Yeah, we must, yeah.
So, but, Chester, one thing I often say to people, we can't rest because infrastructure is a forever moving target. We may clear this backlog, but we must consistently check.
Yeah, the schools aren't getting looked after.
Schools. Exactly. And you must make sure that there's maintenance being done because some of these toilets, you may build good toilets, but then they may be vandalized and they still then are unsafe structures for children.
Yep.
So we have to consistently
I think if you go see a toilet that Gwede Mantashe has used, it'll be vandalized.
I'm not going to
Good say luck that. Laughing at that joke.
I'm
we're going to tweet the ANC and say, help the GNU survives. Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Please, can you build a pit toilet at Parliament and make them use that? Because I think that'll affect it.
You think that it will...
It'll make them want to fix it faster.
Okay,
definitely.
Okay.
Except it probably won't work because Parliament... And they're used to the smell of cuck.
Oh, no.
There we go. You walk right into it. Okay. One of the biggest hurdles in South Africa is inequality between schools in poorer areas and wealthier areas. How are we going to solve that? Go! Fix apartheid! Under a minute. Hit it. Go.
Fix apartheid.
Do
under
it.
A minute. We've got to invest in education and make sure that it doesn't matter where you come from. And for me, Chester, this is actually, you know, and I want you to be serious for a minute. You did give me a minute.
Yeah.
This is for me, like, the thing that really keeps me up at night, to say, how does a child who comes from Mqanduli in the middle of nowhere get the same level of education with a child that goes to this kind of school that I went to? My grandmother had to bankrupt herself to take me to the school that I went to. But it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that for South Africans. They should be able to walk to a school that is of good quality, that has a teacher in there, that teacher's trained, that teacher is satisfied at work, that they've got dignified sanitation there, that they have good quality curriculum. So I think if we really start to firstly introduce a lot of poor black children in particular to reading and reading with meaning much earlier, from 0 to 4, I think we're going to really start to lift the literacy rate a little bit up. And then we're going to bridge that gap. Because, Chester, I'll give you one statistic that still to this day is for me my rallying call for doing what I do. If you're a 10-year-old child in South Africa and you go to an affluent school, you are likely going to ace the international test that we take for reading and reading for meaning. But if you're a 10-year-old child that comes from either a township school or a rural school, back where I come from in the Eastern Cape, you are likely to fail that test. Not because you are less smarter, but because you have not been engaged with the work of reading, playing through, learning through playing long enough. You interact with a book for the first time when you're 7.
No,
and
that's
then
nuts.
By 10, we expect you to read and read for meaning.
Nuts.
It's not fair.
No, it's nuts. It's completely unfair. It's ridiculous. So, and that's why I need to ask, you know, the one place I really disagree with you guys, and I like UCV a lot, but this DA is Bella Act rubbish. Let's start at the beginning. Mm. For the stupid people in the room, and I'm talking about Herman Mashaba now. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Pat me harder. Do they do that in GNU meetings as well?
No,
every
stop
time
it.
Fikile gets excited, calm down, Fikile. Just keep breathing. Can you explain what the Bella Act is, so like briefly?
Okay, cool. So let's a dummy's guide.
Yeah, literally. I am a dummy.
A puppet's guide.
A
Popeye's guide. The Bella Act seeks to amend the South African Schools Act. Now, why do we want to amend the South African Schools Act? Because there's certain things that over the years we have seen that existing legislation did not fix. So there have been a number of court cases that have come about, but this has never been put into coherent law.
Yeah.
So then we put together a law that talks about how do you resolve issues around admissions and language policies in schools. So how do you, if there's a dispute, say that the SGB wants to have a single medium school, but the demand in the community is that, well, there's a lot more other kids who speak English, for instance. Why don't we make it a dual medium? How do you then break, for instance, that kind of contestation? And you also have had to deal with issues, especially home education. I love how everybody's just obsessing, Chester, about admissions and language.
Yes.
That bill, there's so much more to that act than just about admissions and language. It deals with things around home education. It deals with how do we recognize schools and children who are homeschooled. So all of these things are important for our system because we need schools to be guided, SGBs to be guided, provinces to be guided. So that's what Bella seeks to do. It seeks to give guidance on these key things that have never been there before. So it's now an act, and we're implementing.
But isn't Helen Ziller against it?
So, I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it is law.
Wow, I thank you for continuously worrying about my hands. I really appreciate that. The other guests don't do this. Okay. I'm not going
to
lie. They just don't have that attention to deal.
Like you're praying.
Thank you. I know. That would be, save us from the minister. Actually, you're a minister. It would make sense to pray.
But it's law, Chess. And this is what sometimes I get very, what's the word? Frustrated.
Yeah.
People say, when are you implementing the Bella Act? And I'm saying, and this sometimes comes from members of parliament.
Yeah.
And these are lawmakers. So I say to them, you are the lawmakers. You should know how laws are made.
Yes.
So
you would think.
When an act is passed, it is an act of law.
That's done.
It's done. It is now in effect. Kwakhube is not going to implement or not implement.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not implementing, then I'm breaking the law and I'm breaking my oath of office. So that drama's long and gone. But the one thing that I do want to make it clear, and Chess, this is the interesting thing.
Yep.
So many people were so animated about this, as though, you know, there was going to be like Armageddon, you know, as soon as this thing was implemented. And, you know, not a single school has declared a dispute around language or admission to this day.
Wow.
Not
okay.
one.
Okay.
Not one.
So they made a lot of noise and then, for Zach. Because I know I interviewed once that guy who's the dean of the, he was the head of the school governing bodies. And this was, I'm not going to say what his culture was, but his name rhymed with Van der Spey. And he was very much not interested in letting black kids go to Afrikaans school. So I hope that that can change. Listen, by the way, Gwahube, next time a white guy says your name wrong, you must smack him in the face, even if it's a puppet. Thank you. Please include me in that.
To be fair to white South Africans, though, it's not just them. Black South Africans butcher my surname too.
Do they? What do they say?
Gwarube.
Okay, fine. All right.
It's a mess.
It's a stickler for me, and I'd like you to do that. Listen, you were there when the GNU was formed, and I mean, that is amazing. You were literally part of the team. I mean, that's a historical moment.
Yeah. That was. I mean, it's historical, great, but it was the longest month of my life.
I can imagine. When will you be getting a tender?
Me?
Yes, you should get a tender for that. I mean, a small one, for pencils.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested.
Tender for erasers. Then every time Helen writes offensive cock, you can delete it.
No. There's no such. I don't need a tender.
Did you hear that Helen applied for a job to be sandpaper at Boulder's Warehouse?
They said no.
She's too abrasive. It's Twitter. My God.
Ah, you are very silly. Puppet.
I'm a problem.
You are a very silly.
But you're used to it, man. You're hanging out there with an IFP who still put a deceased man on their poster. Listen, what is the craziest moment in the GNU negotiation? What moment do you think, oh my God, this thing is going to fall apart?
Okay, so Tony must not hate me for this, but so Tony.
Tony hates everyone. I'm joking. He's fine. So what happened?
So Tony's a stickler for time, right? Like he is. Very punctual. So every morning we would, you know, because the whole thing was very fluid, right?
Yep.
So we wouldn't know if we were going to have a meeting, who we were meeting.
Yep.
So we would kind of meet and have like a little war room discussion in the morning. And then we would then decide, oh, we're going to meet so-and-so, we're going to meet the ANC or whatever.
Yep.
But like Tony Leon is intense with time. He'd like arrive like 15 minutes before, you know, in the war room, and he was just like wanting everything to run like a Japanese train.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you know, South Africans are not good with time.
No.
So my favorite moments were consistently how he would literally, we would be waiting for whoever we were meeting, and he'd be like, oh, Helen. I mean, I see the time is now a minute past
Tony Leon impression's killing me.
And I do wonder, our guest's still coming.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was a quality Tony Leon impression.
And I mean.
Oh, God.
And I mean.
Oh, Stevie,
would arrive like an hour late.
Hello.
By then, he would have had, like, multiple meltdowns. He'd be like.
That's great.
I mean, I just must say. I mean, I just really.
Hello.
I mean, it is now 17 minutes past.
That's nuts. Get my other hand for me. That's nuts. That was the best Tony Leon impression. I need you to do that in Parliament one day. That was hilarious.
So anyway,
quality funny.
So Tony really like made it very fun. Also, Tony and Helen's constant, like, you know, jabs at one another.
He mentioned in the book that they were bickering and then you told them like an old couple.
It was so
How are you still alive? You nailed both of them at the same time.
It was so much fun. Oh, when they were comparing notes about Cordessa. Oh, no, Helen, I was there. And oh, Tony, oh, come on. Oh, it was amazing. But on a more serious
I think you can work on your Helen voice. It's a bit like...
No, I don't know how to do a Helen voice.
I know. Just to tell you,
can you
one thing I will never understand. It's like she's like a gruffer Tony. I love it. It's like if Constantia a diesel engine had a kid.
Man.
Okay. Now, I know it's your boss/friend/federal executive for the FedEx. That's what they call the lead DA. You sound like you're standing yourself by DHL. Listen... How much real power does the DA have to push back against the ANC? Because, you know, you didn't want the Patriotic Alliance in the GNU, and now they are. What happened?
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, the reality is that, for me, I mean, a GNU is what the ANC ended up choosing to have.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to have a straight up and down coalition government. And then we had to make a decision as the DA to say, are we going to have red lines about who gets involved in the GNU? to the point where we miss an opportunity to actually make some effect, some change. And I think that was a very existential question that the party had to ask itself. And we realized there was a reason why South Africans did not give the ANC a majority. Yep. There was a reason why they gave them 40% of the vote. And yep. in order to convince South Africans in the next election cycle in 2029 that they should vote for us, we need to be able to demonstrate what it is that we can do. So yep. I think it was a good call. I think government is hard. And I think government by different political parties is harder. But honestly, I think that this is good for our democracy, and I think this is good for South Africans. I think people remark about how ministers compete against each other. I'm like, if we are competing against delivering with each other, that's
a good thing.
That's what we need.
If you want to outshine
the next guy by doing your work and doing it well and not stealing public money.
I'm loving watching the I don't always like all your ministers, but when they whistleblow on ANC vibes, it's very entertaining. Listen, right now the DA has a lot of white leadership. I'm not going to lie. The DAG and
are you white?
I am. I have a white guy's hand in my ass. And I am white. I'm literally like an Investec investment.
Oh.
Listen, thank you. Thank you. Don't pat me. You'll get too much privilege. Listen.
Okay.
The DAGNU negotiating team was literally five people, you and five people who use a lot of sunblock.
Ivan was there.
Ivan. You and Ivan and some people. But you know what I'm trying to say. What is it going to take for the DA leadership demographic to change?
No, firstly, I mean, I think that the team that was put together was excellent.
No, it was a good team. I understand. Yeah, I'm not trying to like go, just have black people for no reason. We do need change.
From a provincial point of view, Helen.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with that. But you've got to understand that the systems by which those guys end up in the room, the system by which Helen's the best person for the job and Alan's the best person for the job, it's got a history. It's got to do with who's donating in the DA. It's got to do with drawn to the DA culturally. So there is... And some people would call that racism, but it is a cultural dynamic that it would be better for the country if the DA had more people of color in it. Because I'm not going to lie, it's sometimes, that when the DA says they don't see color, they mean they don't mean they don't see people of color. So what is your opinion of how that would change over time?
I think definitely, Chester, firstly, for me, if you asked me what would I want to see in the DA in the next 3-4 years, I'd firstly love to see a lot more women in our top.
Yeah, we focus on race, but we forget that.
Yeah. So I'd love to see a lot more women. I'd love to see a lot more young people. And of course, I think that it's important that as black members in the DA, also we pick up our hands and contest. And I really do think that, of course, South Africans want to see themselves represented in a political party of their choice. I think that's important. And I think it's very important, Chester, that we don't necessarily dismiss that. We don't simply say, but we're a party that is just excellent and we're excellent at delivering and doing the job. That's fine. But we must understand that South Africa has a historical context to it where South Africans want to see themselves represented in your political party over and above you being excellent at your job. So I think that to dismiss that offhand is not fair. And it is rather detached from reality.
Yeah.
So I would love to see a lot more diverse people in our leadership. And I think that actually when I look at our parliamentary benches, I'm excited. There are a lot of young people there. There are a lot of...
Except for Lee and Jacobs, you backstab. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I wish him well.
Yeah, okay. Futsak, you butlers.
I wish him well.
Listen, so you've never heard any of them say you're one of the good ones?
No, Chester.
It just sounds like Helen Zille's friends would say to Brian.
No, they wouldn't survive.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't survive saying that.
Siviwe, you're one of the good ones.
Ew. Good Lord, no.
No, okay, all right. Maybe don't go to FF Plus. It'll happen there. Listen. Siviwe, thanks for putting up with my cock. The DA is against the ANC's current changes to the Employment Equity Bill. Mm. And I know that's not your specific area, but why are you upsetting Cupcake? What is the DA's alternative, man? We've got to do something.
Mm, mm, mm. No, I think. Look, I mean, I think the crux of the opposition is really about. It's important to not be myopic when you are looking at transformation. It's also important not to be myopic and bean counting when you are looking at these things. But it's just that we've got a big problem, and our big problem is endemic youth unemployment.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the same. For instance, the same kind of conversations that we used to have back in the day about the minimum wage, where people say we've got to set a minimum wage. And of course, yes, an argument must be made that people mustn't be exploited. But my bigger question and my bigger worry is, are we giving young people opportunities to work, earn a living? The fact that 7 out of 10 young people do not work, Chester?
No, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. So, I agree, it's disgusting.
However, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a basket of transformative policies that are in place. There should be. But I also think that we mustn't go for low-hanging fruit of saying we are forcing companies to bean count when we are not forcing them to create employment opportunities.
Listen,
when we're not growing the economy enough for us to have young people at work.
Because I agree with what you're saying, but it does look like the Helen Ziller top-down, it'll trickle down economics assumes that, you know, when the tide comes in, all boats rise, right? That assumes that everyone has a frickin' boat. Mm. So the economy growing doesn't automatically mean that you're going to be included. I just would like to hear some things coming from the DA that assertively have some recognition that the poor people in this country are race, and we know why.
Absolutely.
And we know why. I mean, at the very least, every time someone buys Nando's, an impoverished black person gets a right wing, just to calm Helen down.
That's very good. That was
thank
good.
You. Like that joke.
That was good.
I loved writing it. It was great. Listen, thank you for putting up my cock. Please, can you do me a favor?
Mm.
Please, can you guys take Floyd? Shame, man. He needs help. Just WhatsApp him and say you need a Sun Gorma. He does magic. Did you know? He does magic.
No, he
made VBS disappear.
He's clinging on to that relationship with the former president. So,
he is. It's weird. He's left, but he hasn't left.
He's saying, I dare you to fire me. So he hasn't gotten over his ex yet. So
like Kanye West divorce.
We don't want somebody who's on the rebound. Come on, Chester.
Sivi on the rebound. Shaq, your rebound. Are you just seriously though? Are you planning on becoming the first female president of South Africa?
Woo! Good Lord, hey. I mean, that job is a lot. I'm really focused on this job. I'm enjoying. Can you imagine? I mean, I get to work with children, which I love.
That's great.
And number two, I get to work with policy and changing policy and legislation in this country to improve education and really to improve lives, particularly of poor black people who've been excluded from opportunities. So I am really enjoying this job. It's tough. It's hard. But it's so worthy. So for now, I'm focused on that, and we shall see.
You want to be the first black president? I said it first. Okay, the first black one. What did I just that? You
no,
racist.
That,
the first
you
female
racist.
President.
Thank you.
Bloody racist. Sorry, just the shirt. No, leave your hand down. I'm with Sivwe now. I'm gonna go work as an MEC for whatever pencils or something.
No, you must come and work in my office.
I'm gonna be there in your office, and I'm gonna shout rude things at John Stiernason every time he WhatsApps you instructions. Listen, you were great. Thanks for coming to talk to a puppet. It's an honor, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Chester.
Thank you. You can go now.
Thank you. Must I?
Yeah, you can just go. We're not one of those podcasts.
Okay, cool, man.
Okay,
cool,
I can't fist bump you. Bye, Sivwe. Thanks for coming. Follow her on her, I don't know where she does things. I don't. She's got a Facebook Marketplace page where she sells all sorts of weird cuck that John's giving away. You guys are great. Follow, subscribe, all that stuff. This is Real Talk. Chester missing. Bye.